relationship with God. And just in case you missed it, let's recap it just briefly. The main idea for the next 5 weeks is that God loves us that much that he tells us about his love in the exact way that every person in this room can understand. Dr. Gary Chapman, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through years of pastoral counseling experience and ministry, claims that we have 5 distinct love languages. And through his research, he's discovered that every single one of us in this room has got one primary love language. And if you've done the online survey, which we kind of posted online, or you grabbed the little questionnaire last week and you filled it up at home, it either like went, aha, yes, that is my love language. I love quality time, or I love words of affirmation, or I love gifts. Or you were like, no, I think this questionnaire is cooked. I don't like that kind of stuff. You might sit here this morning going, I want to hear about the others, or, okay, I've got it sorted now, just tell me a bit more about God. But let's just look at the 5 love languages briefly in case you have got no cooking clue what we're talking about. The first one is words of affirmation. For people with this kind of love language, you love hearing that you look fine in that dress. Now, most ladies love to hear that. So I'm not quite sure if all ladies like words of affirmation. I don't know. All right? But for the guys, like, hey, those guns are really big. Now, if you don't understand that lingo, it means these are guns. If they're big, it really makes the guys feel good. And some of the oaks are nodding their heads. I saw that. Or other words of affirmation is like, you're doing a great job. You did really good at school, varsity, or you really finished that project really well. That blows your socks off. You really think that life is good. I'm struggling with this thing. If this is your primary love language, you obviously enjoy hearing words of affirmation. But if someone doesn't speak your love language, like they serve you or they spend a lot of time with you and your love language is words of affirmation, dit is soos om Afrikaans in Durban te praat. Yeah, exactly. Ne? Dis erg. John told me to say that part in Afrikaans, and I was like, yes. So if you serve somebody or buy them gifts, but their love language is words of affirmation, exactly my point. You're not speaking a language they can understand. Now, some of you are Afrikaans, you're like, I got that. Luckily, Jan didn't tell an Afrikaans joke. But that's words of affirmation. The second one is quality time. Now, for quality time people, you love spending a lot of time with people. You will do anything to clear your schedule to spend time with your loved ones. People that love quality time love DMCs. Now, John told me that I've got to make sure that you guys understand what that means. Now, the younger generation are like, yeah, yeah, move along. DMC on WhatsApp lingo is a deep, meaningful conversation. Ah, yes. So now you all got it to watch you guys tomorrow, like on WhatsApp or SMS. Hey, mom, can I have a DMC? And your mom's like, hey, I'm going to clap you solid. I've got no idea what you're talking about. Are you swearing at me? But no, people who love quality time love DMCs. They love those deep, meaningful conversations. Now, for some of us, that might be your love language, and you might hint towards your, I'm probably going to move to the different mic very shortly. This is John's mic. It was mine, but his ears are bigger than mine. And that's recorded. He's going to punch me. Let me try again. I just don't want to break it because he's broken mine. He'll punch me. Anyway, so for those who love quality time, you might hint towards your wife or your husband or your friend, hey, man, let's spend some more time together. And the friend would go, let's go out for a movie. No, that's not a DMC. That's sitting in a room watching a screen. That's not really quality time. It's having a cup of coffee, and in Jan's case, that's serious quality time, or a cup of tea, that kind of thing. But having a deep, meaningful conversation. So for those who love quality time, that really blows your socks off. Then for those of us who love physical touch, now you kind of spot these guys a mile away. When they greet you, they're like, hello, come here. Let me give you a hug or a fat kiss. Hey, you want to run for the corners if that's not your love language. You're like, stop touching me. Hey? Yeah, yeah. Some of you, you're like loving this. Some of you are like, no, no, stop. So if that is your primary love language, you would take every opportunity to hug somebody, to possibly kiss them, or just to like hook up, you know, like literally hook up, like you hook into their arms and like, you just want to be close to someone. You always long for that. Now, last week, John spoke about one of the love languages called gifts. And he focused primarily on John 3:16, where we get the gift of salvation through Christ for all who believe in him. Now, this is kind of a universal love language. Most of us love gifts, right? Like, it was just Christmas. You woke up Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, and you were like unpacking that Christmas gift, and it was lekker. But for some of us, that's not our primary love language. So we're like, oh, that was very nice, but we kind of forgot what we got for Christmas. Case in point. Where others, they love gifts. They don't even care how much it costs. Like, it could be the little flower thingamabobs that you buy at Checkers and give to your wife. Although it's fake and it lasts forever, they love it. Those are the kind of people that gifts really ring true for them. And then today, we're going to unpack acts of service. Now, for people like this, the following rings really true for you. Actions speak louder than words. Clean the house, wash the dishes, and that kind of thing, and this person will feel most loved. Especially wash their car. Hey? Like, who loves washing their car? Like, sitting there on your knees and with an old toothbrush polishing those rims. No. Like, no one loves doing that. But for someone else to do that for you, hey, yeah, that's great. Now, if your love language is acts of service, this will ring true for you. But this morning, just like we will do for the rest of the series, we want to look at Scripture and have a look whether what Dr. Gary Chapman figured out is just him figuring stuff out, or is it actually God's creation that he's just discovered? And we think that's the case. So if you would like to, turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read together from verse 20 onwards. And I'm reading from the NIV. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 onwards. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom." "You do not know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been given and prepared for by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Just that far. It is crucial for us to understand from this text that people here were living in a context where those at the top of the social order kind of just sit back, relax, and they are served at their very beck and call. Isn't it sad that just over 2,000 years later, the same worldview still exists? People want to champion getting to the top because then I can hire all these people to work for me and I don't have to do anything. It is from that cultural context that the mother of James and John asks this question. And to be honest, there's nothing wrong with the question within its context. And Jesus doesn't directly challenge the question. He challenges the context, the culture from which the question comes. In this text, Jesus says to the world then and now that the way you measure greatness and the way of Christ are galaxies apart. In the world's mindset, people's greatness depends on their social standing, their family name, how much money they have, and how many helpers they can employ. But in this text, Jesus explained that his way of doing things would be completely different. And just in case people ask the question of Jesus, who the heck are you to challenge my worldview? Who the heck are you to tell me that the way to get to the top is wrong? Jesus answers them a bit later in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. If you're keeping notes, you might want to write that down and go read it later. But it reads this, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Your attitude should be that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and yet being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, and even death on a cross. In that text, God says to the world, hello, I'm God. In case you missed this, God, not the CEO of a big company, I'm God. I created all of this, and I even created your company. I should be served, yet I have come to serve. So if we question whether Jesus is allowed to challenge our worldview, he is, because he's God. He's at the top of the top. And he goes, hey, I'm here to serve. And in this text, Jesus models this for us beautifully, where his mission becomes crystal clear. That even though he was God, he would serve us to the point of death, and even death on the cross. Do any of you know anybody of prestige in our like worldview? Any CEO out there who'd be willing to give up their life for somebody else? Or serve the domestic worker or the cleaner, which in our current worldview, the CEO is at the top and someone who cleans the floors is right at the bottom. Do we know any CEO would be willing to die for the person at the bottom? No. Jesus did. Remember on the cross? He had murderers next to him and thieves. He said to the one on the left, today you will be with me in paradise. He was willing to die for the one at the bottom of the worldview pecking order. Now that is love. That is an act of service beyond all. The ultimate, the supreme act of service. And if your love language is act of service, you go, yes, that's amazing. That's cooking. Like, who else would do that? Like, yes, I'll serve and serve and serve. But hey, when it comes to dying, hey, I draw the line. Jesus goes, yes, I'll take it to the next step. I'll serve you to death. And that is amazing. And last week, John preached on the fact that God, out of his love, gives us this gift of Jesus Christ. And now this text makes it clear that acts of service is also at the very heart and the very nature of God. That he could have just died, like arrived, and you know, when Herod was still ruling and they could have found Jesus, he was still blameless, but then just die, and then, okay, we're all sorted. No, he came to live a life and show us how to serve, and to serve us. Isn't that amazing? And so if your love language is acts of service, this should completely blow your socks off, because Christ has served you. He has served us to the point of death. And therefore, for those of us whose love language is acts of service, it will be our primary way to show God that we love him. You kind of know who I'm talking about in our own church already. When we ask for someone to paint the church, they will go, yeah, I'm there. I will serve Jesus, even if it's painting the church. And they would do it lovingly and with passion like you cannot believe. But like we saw last week, if your love language is gifts and we do a month of thanks offering, you tend to be the one that gives the most of what you can. Not the most in terms of our bank balance, the most of what you can. And you do it with love and like passion because your love language is gifts. And that's how you want to express your love for God. And that is awesome because that's how God created you. And those with acts of service, that's how he created you because it's part of his nature. And over the next 3 weeks, we'll do the others. But you might ask the question this morning, okay, Ian, if acts of service is part of God because he served us to the point of death, how can I serve him? Yes, come and paint the church would be fantastic. But I think the people that wrote our church's slogan, serving our community, I think their primary love language might have been acts of service. So maybe for Durban North Baptist Church, if we all voted and chose that slogan, maybe quite a large portion of our church's primary love language is acts of service. But your question might be, how do I get involved? Well, hey, we've got tons of places for you to get involved. All the way from little knees to like really old. You can get involved in our children's, youth, and young adults ministries, young families, cell groups, community uplift, the ATAP Center as a whole, ladies and men ministries. There's like lots. Go onto the website, click, and just find something and go, I want to get involved there. If that's how you want to show your love for God, through service. There are great ways to get involved. However, a little like side warning here, that even though your primary love language might not be acts of service, we are all called to serve Christ in some way. Even if it's really small, and even if like on the love languages ranking or pecking order, if acts of service is number 5 for you, which means like you really hate doing this, you can ask anybody who kind of walks life in those shoes, when they do serve out of love for God, it is fantastic. Even if it's for like half an hour, it is really awesome. I would like to encourage you to do that. But let's look at a few examples from Scripture. And if you're taking notes, you might want to pop down these Scripture verses one by one. Let's look at Scripture. And in Matthew 8, verse 14 to 15, Peter's mother-in-law serves Jesus some supper after experiencing an incredible healing from Christ. Christ gives her life again, and her first response isn't, let me go find expensive perfume to give to Jesus. Her first response isn't, let me spend some time with Jesus. Her first response is, I'm going to serve him some supper. So acts of service for Peter's mother-in-law was really high on her pecking order. And then we all know this text pretty well. Luke 10, verse 40 onwards, Mary and Martha. Now, with me just saying that, you're probably going, Martha, act of service. Oh, my goodness. People arrive, and all she wants to do is serve. And she gets upset with Mary, whose love language isn't acts of service, clearly. Mary parks off next to Jesus and goes, hey, you're so nice. I want to spend some more time with you. For Mary, it's quality time. For Martha, it's acts of service. And there's a lesson in that for those whose love language is acts of service. We ought not to get angry with other people with other love languages. That's perfectly natural for Mary to want to sit next to Jesus. And there's a little message in there for us whose love language is acts of service, where Jesus says, hey, Martha, chill, Tunny. Like, relax a little. Come and spend some time with me. I know that's your love language. But don't get so obsessed with serving me and then forget about me at the same time. A little lesson there for us. And even if your love language is gifts, because you can give a bit too much, hey? Like, you know what I'm saying. You rock up at someone's house and they're like, how about a cup of tea? How about a slice of cake? How about this? And they're just giving you stuff. And you kind of leave with your car full of stuff. That's OTT, over the top, all right? You can do the same with acts of service. You can go over the top and just note that God never goes over the top. He always gives the gift as we need. Matthew 6. He serves us to the point of death, another need. And then the other, I don't want to jump the gun with the others. So there's a lesson for us in Mary and Martha. But then, the story is quite sad. So if you're an acts of service lover, Genesis 29:18. Jacob loves Rachel so much. Now this is more like a, you know, like, you know, love, like husband and wife kind of love one day. It's awesome. But he loves her that much that he serves the potential father-in-law for 7 years. So for Jacob, act of service, like I want to prove to Rachel that I love her. So I'm going to serve the father-in-law to be for 7 years. And then the father-in-law does the indespicable and goes, sorry, but you're not getting that daughter. You can get the other one. And that's harsh. But an interesting story and quite a bit of drama and action in there if you want to read that. And then Daniel 3, the last one, and then we'll conclude for this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve God to the very brink of death. And that's amazing. That's really amazing. You see, because these love languages are part of God's nature, He gives all of us the freedom to express our gifts in a way that is unique to every one of us. So for those three guys, it's just awesome that all three of them have similar love language where they can sit in the same room and go, we're going to serve God even if it costs our lives. They can kind of encourage each other, and that's awesome. But God speaks your love language, and sometimes you would be required to give when it's quite tough to give, but you would give with passion and freedom because it comes from God. And so if you find yourself this morning wanting to serve God and serve people to the very end of your life, acts of service could be your love language. So do it with passion, do it with freedom, knowing that Christ showed us His love through His gift of life and serving us to the point of death on the cross. Over the next few weeks, let us discover some more about God through Scripture. Let us embrace and celebrate the different ways God wants to love you. And as God shows His love to us, let us worship Him and show our love for Him in a way that resonates with us. So if gifts is your love language, like we discussed last week, look for places where you can give some of your time, your talents, and your treasures. And obviously you would do that with passion and love. But if acts of service is yours, well, go onto our website, sign up. So many places where you can serve God here on a Sunday and during the week. But friends, as we discover more of God, let us love God and discover and love each other in such a way where the worldview, the current worldview, gets challenged, not just by Jesus in Scripture, but by us. Where if you're at the top, may you serve those at the bottom with the love of God, in a way that they can understand. So it's going to require of you and I to get to know the people around us, to get to know those who we work with and our family a little better. And if you want a lot more practical application, come tonight. But I'll give you a sneak preview. If you are at the top of the social pecking order in your family, in your life, in your workspace, how about you get to know those at the bottom? Get them to fill in the love language questionnaire, because it'll be so much easier for you to speak their love language if you know what it is. So for instance, if your secretary, her love language isn't gifts, and you keep like buying her new computer programs and a fancy keyboard and a nice desk chair, she's probably going to go, hey, that's lacquer, but doesn't float my boat, you know, at all. But if your secretary, you know, and this is where the caution, if it's physical touch, be careful. You know, especially if she's like not married to you, be very careful. Then it's just like, hello, hope you have a great day. Just be careful there. But if it's anything else like quality time, well, allow her to spend quality time with those she loves. Once again, be careful with you, you know. So let's go personal in terms of your family life. If you discover that your husband or wife, or your brother or sister or mother or father, their love language is physical touch, well, then maybe just every now and then go to mom and give her a deep, long hug and say, mom, I love you. It'll really like float her boat. That's Janine's love language. Pretty much every day she's like, can I just have a hug? And I'm like, yeah, sure, and just hug. And that's where it goes. We just hug. And And for me, it's something else. For me, it's acts of service. So I do like sitting on my couch and a cup of coffee arriving magically out of the air. I love it. It makes me feel like in the secretaries, in the office, they rock at this. Like, I think they've discovered it's definitely my love language, and I drink a lot of coffee, and it just arrives on my desk. It's awesome. But for other people, it could be quality time. That's both Jeannie and I's second love language. So on a Monday, don't phone us. We won't answer. Because on a Monday, we want to spend quality time together, because it's the only day of the week that we can just spend time with each other. Those DMCs, those deep, meaningful conversations on the beach, just chilling. Then if it's words of affirmation, which isn't really mine, and it's Janine's third, so every now and then I've got to tell her, hey, honey, you look good. You know, if you tell me my guns are big, I'm like, whatever, let's just move on. You know, like, they're not, so like it doesn't really help. You know, and the teenagers are like, yes, Jan, yeah. Yeah, and then the other one is gifts. You know, for some of you, you really enjoy getting a gift. Like, even if it's a little, Jeannie and I used to do this at Varsity. We used to stick sticky notes on each other's, like, everything. So the computer screen is a sticky note. And then later on that I discovered this love languages thing, and sticky notes went out the window. I was like, it's so much effort. And she doesn't even like it. You know, like, why on earth would you do it? But for other people, if words of affirmation is your love language, you love those sticky notes. Like, as you open up that blazer, and on the inside, you look really hot in this blazer. Wear it more often, you know. Or, you know, as your report arrives, you're like, well done. You got like 7 A's and 1 A+. That is fantastic. No, but you also need to give words of affirmation across the academic spectrum. It would be awesome. So those are the 5. Try and discover them in your own life. But can I challenge you to try and discover this in Scripture? Try and discover it where God gives a bit of quality time to someone, you know, where he does a bit of physical touch. And be careful, you might get your hip dislodged in that moment. Find that, I'm not going to give you, like, it's in the Old Testament, the first 5 books. Go find that story. There's a bit of physical touch between a person, I'm not even going to tell you if it's a guy or a girl, and God, and the person loses his hip. You know, he kind of walks like this for the rest of his life. So when you ask God for a bit of physical touch, be careful. It might be dangerous, but it might be fantastic, where there's a physical touch of healing. Another hint, there's like tons of healing in Scripture. But go and find out and discover some of God's love languages in Scripture. It'll give you the depth behind this far greater than what I ever can. And go and apply it to your daily lives. And I would encourage you to come to the evening services as we discuss the application of it. So friends, the challenge is discover your love language in Christ. He designed it. He made it. Discover it. Apply it to your life. And let's change this world. And turn the worldview upside down, little by little, every day. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you so much.